It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
We're activated. We're opening his window so he can do some stuff like that. But again, we're not doing much. So he'll walk through out there with us today and things like that. But hoping he can be ready for next week.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's time for the crossover brought to you by Bay Alarm. Rest easy. We've got you covered, Bay Alarm. Let's welcome in Dan Ridley and Mark Grandy. Grandy in for Willard today. Gentlemen, how you doing? What's going on?
Doing just great.
Man, living the dream.
How
Mark
are you
in
guys?
For Mark. Mark for Mark.
We've had a great show, Grandy, but we just had a little, what I deem provocative conversation about the reporter in Jacksonville that I don't know, Dibs. I told the listeners, Grandy, I loved every bit of it, but she's catching hail. And I'm like, what does that say about our society? But Steiny explained to me the craft. That wasn't the venue, but I just thought it was authentic, and I felt it.
Did you guys play the audio?
Yeah, we did.
Could you play it again? Because I've only read the story. I haven't actually ever bothered to listen to the audio. So I would like to withhold judgment Evan Giddings on the ones and twos delivers this.
Hey, Lynn Jones, Jacksonville Free Press News. I just want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank you.
Hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
And you did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you just hold your head up, okay?
Thank
and
you,
ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm going to cry. Like, give me more of that, dear. But she's that wasn't the venue. Go ahead.
I mean, wow. If you want to open up with, congratulations on a good season. Coach, I just want to ask you about that third down call in the fourth quarter. That's allowable. But if you want to go and do that verbally, you go the Steiny route and you write a birthday card for Baron Davis.
Or do
That's what
Steiny
that basically
said, do it,
was.
Pull him to the side somewhere else.
Right. And then she's kind of basically like, giving him, she's
like
summoning
auntie,
him. Yes, that's right.
Young
Grandy,
man.
I loved it. He's up there bleeding. Hey, what's your contract status?
No.
I don't know. You didn't like it
this
either.
It's not
huh?
the time or the place. It's a bad look for the franchise. It makes it seem like they credential fans, just anybody to go and cover their team. No, it's not a good look.
You know what I'm envisioning is Niners lose a heartbreaker in Seattle. Shanahan comes out, and Tim Kawakami of the Standard goes, "Hey, Kyle, I just want to let you know.
Oh man,
you keep your head up. You've had a great year. You got nothing to be ashamed of." And bang, bang. Finally, Kawakami's going to that round.
She brought up the Duval.
That's
the
Duval
team.
County.
You don't say that.
Thank you for saying that, Evan. That was even more cringy than I thought. I just read the reports, whatever, and apparently McAfee went off defending her.
Yeah.
And all the rest of us
have.
Are curmudgeons.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, the press conference is about two things, Q's and A's.
Yeah.
Q's and A's, not praise. Q's and A's.
And I told Steiny why I like it too is I felt like she didn't have it planned. It just kind of, she said as much. She saw him up there kind of, down. And then she went what I call the grandma or auntie route with, hold your head up, son.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, a little cringy, but, what do you do?
In the grand scheme of things, nobody died.
So. It's true.
Well, the dreams of the Jags getting to the bowl.
That's true.
I mean, this is what, year one for Liam Cohn?
Yep.
So, and I think that Trevor Lawrence looked better.
They should have kept running the ball.
I mean,
they should have.
Yeah. She's not wrong. They did have a great year, and he did do a great job.
If they don't make the playoffs next year, just make sure you're there for that season-ending press conference.
There you go.
Because she's going to rip him, I would think.
First place schedule, too, so beware of that,
That's true.
No, no
That's
doubt.
True. Kyle Shanahan talked to the media today. Said Fred Warner's window's open, but he's probably not going to play this weekend, but left the door open for the NFC Championship game if they get there. Ricky Pearsall limited. Feels like Trent Williams is going to be able to play. So that's what we're looking at right now heading into Seattle.
Yeah, and Fred Warner told Ryan Russillo that he's ready to go.
Heard that.
It's just up to the team, which is interesting. I guess it's what a player – it's always the mindset of a player.
Well, I actually think it – like, to me, it clarified that it isn't just the player. It the doctors are, and maybe we knew this all the time, but when we talk about a player wanting to play, and if he wants to play, you got to let him. I think it is obviously more complicated than that. but I don't think he's getting out there this weekend.
No, and I think Shanahan kind of addressed it too when he said,
right after,
you know, it's ultimately the doctors, and like he always says, I'm not a doctor, and he has to go through a bunch of things, whether it's, you know, sprinting, cutting, jumping, running, all the things that he'll need to do in the game. If he can show that he's able to do all those things at a certain level, then he'll be good to go. And my sense is that he won't be able to do all that by Saturday, not Sunday.
Well, I got you.
Another short week coming up. So, and I think Seattle's going to have an 8-day rest advantage, because they will have played 2 weeks earlier, and the Niners are coming off a 6-day. So that in and of itself is a tough giveaway, just in rest disadvantage.
I'm fascinated to see Darnold at home, who has not, and Evan helped me out this morning, he's been to the playoffs once, but he doesn't have a victory
in that one game.
They are a heavy favorite. Can somehow Saleh, the gang, and even the offense, if they get off to a great start, because I was watching the old game. He didn't light the last game 2 weeks ago. He didn't light it on fire, but there's got to be some nerves or something. How's he going to play? You know?
Yeah, like the common thing that you always heard going into the Philly game was you get a lead early, and then the Philly crowd will kind of like turn, and then they'll benefit you.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen in Seattle. That crowd is never going to turn on that team, but. Sam Darnold throws an interception. Maybe you hit him early. He fumbles the ball, something like that. Like, maybe the thing that could turn is Sam Darnold's head, because as you mentioned, what he's been through postseason, it was a mess. And they played the Rams. The Rams last year in the playoffs, because they barely lost their division on the last week last year with the Vikings. And then they played the Rams. It was actually in Arizona, though, because of the wildfires in L.A. And they absolutely ran circles around him. And that's a different defense than the Niners have, obviously. But Sam, everyone said, you're seeing ghosts again.
Man.
Maybe something like that happens again. Who knows?
It's possible. I loved what Matt Barrels was saying to you guys about the Philly crowd. Normally they're pounding on the glass and partitions are falling. And this time it wasn't that, partly because the 61-yard DeMarcus Robinson, not that that was a game changer or a backbreaker.
But they weren't believing,
they were not believing.
They gave up on their team, it sounds like.
Yep.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah,
to Grandy's point, like, Seattle's not going to do that. Even if they're down 14-0 off the jump, the Seattle 12s are still going to be, you know, absolutely bringing it. And has it been 10 years since they've won a playoff game?
Wow.
Seattle, or a home playoff game, maybe? I'd have to check, but I saw a stat, like, that it's been maybe 2016. It's been a long time since they've tasted that sweet playoff nectar. Uh-huh.
Mike Tomlin stepping down.
About time.
Kevin Petullo.
Nine straight playoff games.
Yeah.
Now, what do you make of Tomlin stepping down? Unlike Harbaugh, they own the right, so he can't just go anywhere. So do you really think
Tomlin,
they still have the rights to him if he wanted to go to another team? He didn't get fired. So they got that to where maybe there's a trade if you wanted to hire Tomlin. Oh. And that's bothering me. Like, Mike, I thought you might want to go somewhere, you know? But I guess, you know, something's got to be worked out because they still have the rights to him.
Interesting.
For what, one more year? Or is it?
I have no idea. I just didn't like that. A clean break. Or maybe he's tired.
What if they both just agreed to step away and rip up the contract from this point on?
I just kind of figured they went up to him and said, Mike, you're not coaching our team anymore. We will either fire you or you can say you step down.
That's what I thought.
But I guess I'm wrong. Yeah. I don't know.
He signed through next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Year, and just looking at the internet, apparently he's making about $16.5 million, and he has a no trade clause. So ultimately, if he wants to coach next year, that gets worked out.
Right.
My guess would be he does a year of TV and then he just bounces back if he wants to get back in it. He's going to be a commodity. And as we know, every year there's between 6 and 10 coaching changes in the NFL. So you just sit back and wait for the next one if that's what you want.
How old is Tomlin now? You know, off the top of your head?
I think he's young 50s.
Yeah, he's still he's still got other jobs in him then.
No doubt.
How attractive is Robert?
He'll be 54 in March.
I asked Matt Barrels, you think he's going to be a hot out commodity?
Super hot. And wow. I didn't do the full deep dive on this yet, but I will. And Kostaina, you've said something about how many chances do you get as a coach to go out there and fail? And I'm doing my Steiny right now, the exasperated Steiny. I've seen some examples like Lovie Smith got three chances to go out and fail. I think North Turner, as a head coach, got multiple. So Salah's got the one strike, and it was a tough pitch being with the Jets. But I don't think that that hurts him at all coming off of this year. The only problem is if he does get a job, maybe he takes Clay Kubiak
with
him.
That's what Matt Barrels said. And
Gus Bradley, maybe.
The quarterback, Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, that. Depending on what you
Atlanta.
Can get.
To Atlanta. Yeah, to Atlanta.
Mac Jones to Atlanta.
That's what he said.
Yeah. I mean, either way, if you are Kyle Shanahan, and Grandy's got a great way to get into it today as we continue to heap praise on him, when you lose coaches year after year, that's actually a good thing. Mm. It shows that you're doing it right. You're having success, and the coaches that you have are doing well.
And they got some draft picks because some of the coaches were minorities.
Right.
Yeah.
And whenever front office people move on, too, you get comp draft picks for that as well. And that's happened all over the place. Mm. They haven't always had a ton of success where they've gone, but they continually get poached. And it's like the balance between wanting to run a good franchise, which means you get poached, but not wanting to have to replace guys over and over, because that, and eventually what happens is you're going to make a hire that doesn't work out, which was Nick Sorensen.
Yeah.
And that was a disaster. And now you get Robert Saleh back, but what happens next year when Saleh probably moves on?
Who's he was a disaster again? For Dallas special teams. This was his first year of Sorensen. They're running him out of town.
They fire him? Is he done?
No, but it whispers that he's out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Grandy, if I were to ask you what the win meant for the franchise, the 49ers franchise, big picture, over the Eagles, and then if they were to beat the Seahawks, what would that mean? You know what I mean? Like, what did that win over the Eagles mean in regards to the entire season and kind of where the franchise is?
I think it was just like the sign that this is an organization that can fight through a lot of things not going right that are really out of their control. And I think it's a major, major compliment to Kyle Shanahan and to John Lynch. And people throw around the word culture a lot, but I do think this has something to do with that. And I think I know where you're going, Stoney, because I heard some of your guys' conversation. Is this about it being a special season?
Well, just, you know, how we would define it if they... Now that they've won a playoff game and overcome all these injuries, and what would it mean if they go up to Seattle and win?
I think if they win in Seattle, then I would start being willing to accept that this is a special season. But the win in Philly doesn't make it a special season for me yet. I think just winning one playoff game, despite it being against all odds and against the defending champs on the road, that's not enough for it to be special. Special to me means at least a couple playoff wins and making a conference title game. I don't know of anything before that.
Dibs,
can be
I said
special.
If they beat Seattle, they can win the bowl. I'll believe they can win it all.
Well,
if
they'd
you
be
go
halfway
win this
there,
one.
Yeah. And honestly, if the Bears are able to beat the Rams, we were talking about this in our impromptu show meeting because you got to have a show meeting every day. And if they go play the Bears, they're probably 3.5-point dogs, maybe 4. You go to L.A., you're probably 5.5 or 6. Yeah. And coming out of the AFC, depending on who it is, in your building, you might only be 3-point dogs. So, of the three games remaining, to me, this is the toughest.
I said this to Steiny, this might be the real Philly, Seattle. You know what I mean? They're together. Their defense just did you in 2 weeks ago. And that's what fascinates me. How are you going to, in a quick fashion, show us that you can go to the lab? And, well, Trent Williams is a start. He wasn't in that game a couple weeks ago. So.
But you're not going to have George Kittle this time.
Yeah. But you had him. You didn't have him when, well, he went out the game early week one.
Yeah, you had him 2 weeks ago when you scored 3 points. What I will say, though, Goo, is say they beat Seattle, say they beat the Rams or whoever, and say they win the Super Bowl. That would be the most special postseason run I've ever seen in the NFL.
I'm in that line.
I know we're three wins away from that, and it's a very long way away, but you consider saying you got to do it in Philly, in Seattle, and maybe in L.A. versus the Rams. I think clearly probably the three best teams in the NFC, I think, all year long.
Exactly.
And then you do it against the Buffalo Bills or the Broncos or the Patriots out of the AFC.
That'll be the easiest part.
Probably. Yeah. But that would be the most improbable, considering what your team has been through, run in postseason history.
It's fascinating because Stani and I, just with what we do in the words, I can watch Shawshank Redemption and say it's the best movie ever. Diff can say, you know what, it was all right. And that he difference of opinion.
I would never say that.
But it's incredible. But Stani and I were just having a conversation, Dibs and Grandy, and you tell me what you think. I think the Niners are in the midst of what I deem a magical run, and I believe it started this season with what they had to endure and overcome. And Stani didn't say I'm wrong, but he wouldn't use the word magical. Do you have a problem calling it one, a run? And I think that gets validated by beating Philly, whatever they had going on. Nobody expected it. But I think they're on a magical run, right, to be in this spot.
They're on a run. I mean, I wouldn't say it's magical yet. You're one of eight teams remaining, and you're big-time underdogs at Seattle. I think it's now 7.5.
Wow.
And so if you pull this one off, and I did the numbers yesterday on teams that are six-point dogs more on the road in the playoffs, you basically don't win. You don't win those games. You cover, but you usually don't win very often. So that's what they're facing historically, but if you beat Seattle, now we can start talk about maybe possible magic. But the word I would use is impressive. And you went to Philly, and you lost Kittle, and you already didn't have Bosa and Warner. You had two guys we've never heard of playing linebacker who played
Liquor
awesome.
Liquor Store 7. It's right? Frank from Atlanta.
Frank was so that good was with that good. Yesterday. Yeah. And yet, you beat Philly. And I heard it today, Steiny, from Shanahan in his press conference. There was a certain amount of satisfaction in his voice.
Mm.
Not that he's like ready to call it a season, but he sounded like not giddy, but he was making jokes and you know, talking about I'm gonna go brush my teeth and stuff. Actually, I already did that because you know it's what I do and stuff. And he sounded like
I already did
relaxed
it.
And totally at peace with it's a short week, but whatever. It's the cards we were dealt. We're gonna go out there and you know give it our all.
Yeah, I mean to me this is perfect because do I think the Niners are gonna win the Super Bowl? I don't. But if they forget winning the Super Bowl, do I think they're gonna get to the Super Bowl? Probably not. Like it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. If they beat the Eagles, the Seahawks, and the Rams on the road, then like there's nothing to talk about anymore. Then they deserve to be the NFC rep. They can win the Super Bowl, and then we can start talking or not start, but then you know then magical season is right at your fingertips. And maybe we'll look back if they lose the Super Bowl and say it was a magical season. But I agree with Grandy. There's something about that win that was like, he called it culture. I use the word brand. And it's like, so Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. So if you look at Pro Football Reference and you look at his stats, it'll say like lost wild card, lost division, lost conference finals. And I'll bet if you go back and try to pick out what happened that one year, they'd be like, I'm not really sure. I think this is the kind of year that maybe 5 or 6 years from now, we'll look back at this team, no matter how they finish, assuming they don't win the Super Bowl, and we'll be like, oh, remember, that's the year they got to the playoffs when everybody got hurt and nobody expected anything out of them, and they went into Philly, and it'll be like it's just kind of what you expect from franchises like the 49ers or the Steelers or the Patriots back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't dismiss them because of who they are as a franchise and their head coach, et cetera.
And I think that looking back at this season, if it ends on Saturday or whenever it ends, the words I'm going to use are building blocks because you had all these drafted babies and they've all had to play and they've all gotten better and your defense, with all the losses, should have been worse than it is. Your quarterback that everybody was criticizing that you're paying him $53 million and you're not paying him $53 million yet, that's next year. But it's hard to look at what he's done and not say he's a real one. And what you still have on this team, you're going to have coming back. Kittle, I know, will be out until October or November. Who knows? But I look at this team with building blocks. Your coach is amazing. Your quarterback's a real one. And, you know, you went out in an injury-plagued year, and you won 12, actually make it 13 now. So you got something to build on no matter what.
No doubt. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's one thing Guru and I were just starting to get into at the end, and maybe we'll save it for tomorrow, is, yes, like how much carryover, whether they win or lose against Seattle, it's been a real good season. What kind of carryover, if any, do you expect for next year? Like, do you say, well, we got this far this year, and now we got all the guys coming back. We should be better. Because it's going to be hard to win 13 games next year, no matter.
But you can say if the bottom falls out, we'll still be afloat. That's how I'm looking at the Niners moving forward. And you got to believe it. Yeah, a tougher schedule's already coming. But the fact that you can still be in this position with everything that's gone wrong, I think that's what Kyle is flexing on the league. Like, yeah, I don't think, you know what I'm saying? All this bad luck, I turned into good fortune.
Well, it's interesting because I think this year also gives you a look into maybe what's most important. Like, what are the most important characteristics of a team that Shanahan has to have to be successful? Because you could argue it's not great wide receivers. Definitely not that, because they got right there.
You don't need Mahomes. Trotting out, like Brock.
Trotting out wide receiver threes and fours, like guys that are not wide receiver ones or twos at any point in their career. You don't need, you know, the best of the best at quarterback, but you need a guy you trust and that can't anticipate and all of that. And Brock's a very good quarterback. Not elite, 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 but a very good quarterback. You need that. But you don't need... necessarily maybe the best tight end in the NFL. I know, of course, Kittle makes you better, but they won a game in Philly where he got hurt in the first half. They survived him missing more than a month this season, and they won some football games there. They don't need all pros all over the place defensively, but what do they need? I think Shanahan needs a great defensive coordinator, guy that he trusts, and he needs an all-pro dual-threat weapon at running back, which he has currently. But what happens if McCaffrey has an injury plague next year after having 450 touches this year? And what happens if Saleh goes somewhere else and they got to do whatever the hell they're going to do at DC? Like, maybe those are just the key pieces that he needs. And those are the two that actually stayed here all year when the injuries happened to all other spots. And what if it's reversed next year? I don't know how it's going
to
look like.
You're going to have to find a way to retool it. And this year, I think, kind of broke the mold on what Shanahan has done. You talk about what does Shanahan need. In every double-digit win regular season, they ranked third in rushing, seventh, and second.
This year they were second?
They were 24th.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This year they were 24th.
Wow. So this is the outlier.
The outlier. Yeah. Every previous year, like 2019, they go 13-3, second in total rushing yards. They were seventh. They were third 2 years ago when CMC had 1,460 and Mitchell chipped in and the rest. This year, you could not run the ball. And we always say, oh, Shanahan's got to be able to run the ball. This year, they really couldn't, and they still went 12-5.
But the flex to me with that is we had a caller talk about Brock. Oh, he's a system quarterback. The team's loaded when they had Debo and Ayuk. He didn't have that. I mean, you got the great McCaffrey, and he's great. And where I'm going is how great he is. You didn't have him for much of last year. I'll just say this. How did that go? You guys know crickets.
Yeah.
But you lost everybody else, and you're still in the offs. So it just speaks to how great McCaffrey is.
No doubt. And
like, that was a hill Kyle couldn't climb without him last year. Not saying that was the whole sole reason, but he's lost everybody under the sun, even Brock for eight. But McCaffrey,
red zone.
That was over.
Red zone.
Do we still think McCaffrey's kind of more important than, or, you know, better, more important than Purdy?
I do. I don't know where you guys are.
I'm starting to wonder.
No shaded Brock.
Tough to say. I just look at certain metrics. One is third down conversions. This year you had McCaffrey. You were first. Last year you didn't, and you probably were middle of the pack. I don't have it in front of me.
Well, what about the totality of the record last year without McCaffrey for 99% of the season? You didn't sniff the offs.
Well, a couple things. One, your rest disadvantage was profound, the worst in maybe 15 or 20 years. You played five teams off a bye, and you had rugged opponents and a terrible stack. The big one, though, for me, the red zone. Last year you could not score in the red zone, and what did we see against Philadelphia? You need a touchdown. McCaffrey, out to the left, put my foot in the ground. Now I'm coming back to the right. Purdy, pitch and catch, touchdown, win.
They have four red zone opportunities Sunday?
They had three. I think they went 1-for-3.
Well, they had three touchdowns, right?
I think all three touchdowns were in the red zone, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were 2-for-3 in the red, in the red area.
Oh, yeah, the Jennings to McCaffrey was not in the red zone.
Right, and the field goal on their second last possession, got down to the 18 and kicked the field goal. Both teams 2-for-3 in the red zone, but last year you got in the red zone and it was, you know.
1-for-3.
Right, what? And then Moody would miss.
Yeah, true, he would miss. 0-for-3, really. Right. Yeah.
All right, what do you guys got coming up today?
We've got Stink, Mark Schlereth at 3. And then John Feliciano at 5. And one thing that we're going to throw out, and I'll ask it to you guys here really quick. If you had every person that is on an NFL team's payroll across the entire NFL.
Every human being in the NFL.
Talking about players, coaches, okay. We're talking about general managers. Hell, you can include owners if you want. But players, coaches, general managers, anybody on an NFL payroll. How far down the list do you have to get until you get to Kyle Shanahan in terms of the most valuable individuals in the NFL? Valuable to a team.
Mm.
Wow. I mean, that's a big pool.
I mean, but the first guy that, like, I thought you were going to say, like, okay, let's have a draft. I mean,
yeah, you can think of it that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably.
And you're starting a franchise.
I'd probably take Stafford right now.
Wow.
Just in the playoffs, like where we're at right now, sure. Not starting a team. Mm. But Shanahan would be with, like, McVay / Shanahan, right?
Yeah.
But I have a problem with, I love it, and I'm going to be listening.
I thought you were going to go with Juwan Jennings.
It's taking a player over the player. No, that was going to be my answer.
And that's kind of the conversation, because Josh Allen, I think, would be the consensus number one. But I don't know how many other players you get to before you realize the coach, and this coach in particular, is so impactful that you may want to get
Miles
him off the board.
Garrett, yeah.
He was up there.
He was up there. Anyways, we'll get into that. Plus, we got Stink coming up.
We'll be listening.
All right, gents, have a great show and bring it home on 95.7 The Game.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.